just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Now, just for kicks, hypothetical. Because we've had some crazy things happen around. I've been here 22 years and...
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on October 9, 2024, and is titled, When Imitators Rule. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
We've had some gatherings that were a little odd from time to time. We had some stuff happen, and it'd make it all the way to the bank the next morning. You know, people would ask, hey, did that really happen in y'all's thing? Or, yeah, boo. What do you think the word on the street would be tomorrow if I just used to run out of here and you said, that goofy son of a buck took that stick, and he threw it down on the ground, and it became a darn rattlesnake. And he was goofy enough to pick the son gun back up. Who could make that happen? Who made that happen? God did. So either God is who he says he is and the Bible's true or it's not. I don't have the faith for it. So if I throw my stick down, y'all can't see it from where you're sitting, it's a rattlesnake. Here, let me grab it again. Boom! Now it's a stick. Not really. He didn't command me to do that. I wouldn't have the faith for it. I'm not going to test God in this. If he told me to do it, I guess I'd just believe it and try it, just like we've done everything else. But look what happens here. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers and the magicians of Egypt, and they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up all their rods, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard. God will always, always have the ability to overpower anything that man does. He also has the ability to destroy anything that man does. But the spiritual realm, and here's another little side note. We've got another side of Christianity today that if it's spiritual, it must be of God. That's not true. And let me go ahead and just burst some more bubbles while I'm at it, because I'm just kind of tired of playing around with everybody's feelings. But we have what's the word I'm looking for? We have this fad. We have a fad. And some of you have participated in it. Some of you may still. I hope you don't after tonight. We have this thing where we intimize God by addressing the Holy Spirit as simply Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit told me this. Holy Spirit's this. Holy Spirit's that. Show me one place in the Bible where somebody prayed to the Holy Spirit. Show me one place in the Bible where you find the word holy and spirit together without the article the. It's not. You know why? The article the makes the Holy Spirit a proper noun. That's a person. When you remove the article the word holy now becomes an adjective, so that deems any spirit as holy. Now, I know that sounds a little nitpicky, but wisdom proved right by our action, and if you'll just keep following this trend, we can all join together in the great by and by, and it's called the ditch. Overzealous spiritualism. You better be careful, because the enemy has been imitating God for a long time. For a long time. I've been sharing that little tidbit of information now for almost 10 years. It has ticked a lot of people off. The sad part of it is, if you do this long enough, you find out I was right. Be careful. Be careful about unbridled spiritualism. Be careful that it is the Holy Spirit and not somebody imitating. They've been imitating. So, just like, let's just do the weather tonight. That's a good one. Let's just do the weather. Man, there's a lot of ways that man can manipulate a lot of stuff, do a lot of stuff, but you know, I've actually met people along the way or church attendees that believe that God kind of has already set the weather patterns, that he doesn't intervene, and it's silliness to pray for rain. It's silliness to pray for protection. It's silliness. Well, if you believe it's silliness, then enjoy suffering the consequences. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you know, everybody likes to do 2 Chronicles nowadays. But if you'll do verse 13, don't start in 14. Let's do 13. And he said, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, when I shut up the heaven, when I send the locusts, sounds a little bit like the 10 plagues of Egypt, doesn't it? Because even when they got into the plagues, man imitated for a minute, and you get down there about the fourth one, and the magicians all turn around and tell Pharaoh, said, we can't do that one. That's got to be the finger of God right there. But he tells Solomon right here in 2 Chronicles, he said, when I shut up heaven, there's no rain, and command the locusts to devour the land, send pestilence among my people. I don't know who's sending what, but I do know in the last years, everything's on fire, everything's underwater, everything's in a mess from coast to coast, and mostly on the coast. We got fires going on all the way up the Northwest. We've had fires all over New Mexico. We've had fires across the Texas Panhandle. We got floods going. We got another hurricane coming across Florida today. They're predicting another one to be here within the next week or 10 days in the same spot. We've got people all over North and South Carolina. I'm flying over there Friday morning. We'll get a firsthand look at some of it. It's a mess. We've been quoting 2 Chronicles 7, 14 for as long as I've been a Christian. That if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open, my ears attentive to their prayers. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to their prayers. Now. Do you know what's wrong in America today? We'll turn from our cigarettes, we'll quit cussing, and we'll throw our dirty books in the dumpster. But we will not recognize the abominations that happen under steeples and behind stained glass windows. We won't repent of religion. We want the pagans to all clean it up. It's not theirs to do. It doesn't become theirs to do until you've helped them find their way to Jesus. It's ours to do. If my people, not all people, if my people, well, I ain't been doing nothing wicked. I've been going to church every Sunday. I've served on every committee. I sing in the choir. I've been there so long they'll let me hold the crackers during communion. Come on, man, give me a break. This is a faith walk, not a church walk. Individuals, we the people, one man, one woman at a time, deciding, choosing this day, Just like Joshua 24 says, I don't care if you want to follow the religion of the fathers on the other side, worship what they worshiped on the other side, go ahead. But as for me and my house, this day, we will serve the Lord. How did he knew that? Because the promise had been realized to him 430 years later. That in Exodus that's happening right there is leading up to what event? What is it leading up to? One event is fixing to happen. When they threw the rods on the ground, what event was fixing to happen? Passover. Passover. That's going to lead up to 40 years in the wilderness. What commemorates 40 years in the wilderness? Feast of Booths. Temporary dwellings. Do you know your life here is a temporary dwelling? Do you know Jesus came in a temporary tent? What's funny about temporary dwellings and booths and hay racks outside the building is kind of funny. While we celebrate Christmas on December 25th, and I'm not making any predictions, I'm just making an observation, it's kind of funny that when Jesus was born, he had to sleep outside. Just an interesting thought. We just accept all the status quo of our religion, and this is a faith walk. When you walk by faith and not by sight, maybe someday I'll throw my stick on the ground, it'll be a snake, and I'll pick it up, and it'll be a stick. I don't know what day that happens. Over here in James, let me look here. I may want to do something different than that. No, I'll tell you what, let's go to James 5. I want to talk about Elijah right quick. James 5, verse 17. There was a man, Elijah, was a man with a nature like ours. So I guess Elijah got here the same way we did. Y'all reckon that's how that happened? Elijah didn't get here by an immaculate conception. He's same as us. Had a nature just like us. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. That's 3.5 years. Do you know there's a lot of correlations in the Bible about 3.5 year periods? Yeah, that's true. It'd probably behoove us to understand 3.5 year periods, 7 year periods. Maybe do a little study on our own there so we wouldn't have to fall for everybody else's malarkey. And he said, and he prayed again, and heaven gave rain and produced its fruit. So let me get this straight. The Bible said, how many of y'all believe the Bible's true? Why in the world would you do that? You sure? How do you know that? Yeah. But honest, truly, how do you know? Huh? Until you've realized Jesus is your absolute truth, you cannot realize that Bible is absolute truth. You can't even read it. There's no way to understand it. You'll have to rely on your own understanding. It'll be groupthink and theories and theologies that we call that seminary. And they'll hand it down. A man stood up and prayed for a drought, and it didn't rain. Look over here in 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. These old Bible stories are fun. And I'm going to share some history stories here in a minute, and they get just about as much fun. It's fun stuff. Over here in 17, That's where this all happens right here. Elijah, verse 17, chapter 1. Elijah the Tishbite from Gilead. As the Lord of Israel lives, he told Ahab, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. How many of y'all have lived your entire life believing everything that happened was God's will? Come on, that's what we've been trained. Everything happens for a reason, and God's in control. Don't worry about it, the master puppeteer. You can't see the fish wires, but they're there. According to that false theology, God has predestined every rapist, every monster, every car wreck, every disaster has all been by the discretion of God, because God's in control and everything happens for a reason. But he said right here, he said, at my word, this drought will be over. I'm going to say, well, who's he? He's just a man. You know, they're saying the same thing about me right now behind my back. Who's he to declare a day of prayer? Who's he to give a decree? Who's he to call out Easter? Who's he to call out Sunday morning? Who's he to call out the religion? Who is this guy? Let me tell you who this guy is. He's a guy who listens to God's kitchen table on every cotton picking morning of the week. It's not reserved for Sunday. It's every day that ends in Y. And when God has called on me time and time again, I finally, even after much arguing sometimes and much dismay sometimes, laying in my bed weeping sometimes, I finally, eventually, will just go ahead and look like a fool and do what God says to do, because I know it's my only hope. It's my only hope. For crying out loud, why aren't we all like that? Shouldn't have to be just one of us that's a weirdo. We should all be weirdos together. Elijah, he tells him, and it goes on and happens. Then God, I'm just going to paraphrase and go through this real quick, because it's a really cool story, and I encourage you to go home and read it. But God tells Elijah to go to the brook, and the ravens will take care of him. Finally, because of the drought, the brook dries up. One of the best stories in here is about when he revives the widow's son. He's about to die, and they talk about the oil and the oil of the Holy Spirit and the provision of God. And this widow takes, he takes care of the widow, and the widow takes care of him. And then here we get up. He comes back to Ahab. And he's going through this whole deal, and then he's eventually going to end the drought. But here in chapter 18 is also a deal. When he gets through talking to Ahab, they've all kind of got ticked off, and now they're having to choose. Are you going to worship the God of all creation, or are you going to worship the religion of Baal? Which one? And so they brought all the prophets of Baal in, and they challenged Elijah. And he said, I got an idea. Give me a couple calves. Cut them up, put them on a stick. It's one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. And he tells them knuckleheads to go ahead and scream at their God. Do you know you can scream at a brass monkey forever, and when you get done, he'll be a brass monkey? You can scream at a God that didn't get up, and you'll get the same results as his non-resurrection. But when you've realized the resurrected Jesus Christ, you see, that's what she sent me a deal the other day, and I've heard it in a couple places where there's a lot of Muslims in Iran. Iran is arch enemy number one. But the Muslims in Iran are realizing Jesus. I just want to know when Sunday morning pew potatoes in America is going to realize Jesus. Because you can't have a faith walk without him. You're just going to go off of somebody's story. Here's what a faith walk looks like. He's going to stand up against the prophets of Baal. So yesterday morning in Bible study, when I called out the whole cotton-picking mess according to Hebrews 11, and I said, look, let me just put out a deal to this morning here to everybody from Maine to California, from North Dakota to Florida. Let's just put out a deal. If you're a pastor, you're a leader in some type of religious synagogue or temple, if you're a deacon, if you're an elder, if your grandpa's one or your mom put the first brick in the building, or maybe you're just a guy who wants to, curious or wants to stir up trouble, I don't care who you are, bring your Bible and challenge me in this. Challenge me in this issue of paganism or God. Challenge me. I'm setting on go. I'm waiting on that phone to ring. Because Elijah called him out and he said, hey, all you knuckleheads, I want you to call on your God. Let's see something happen. They screamed till their lungs blew up. Nothing happened. He stood over and hollered at him, louder, louder, louder. I'm just wondering, in America today, do we look more like Elijah or do we look more like the prophets of Baal? We got prayer meetings and Sunday morning gatherings and tent revivals. Billy Graham has saved everybody in America while we got dumber. I'm just preaching good tonight. Who do we look more like? Do we look like a guy who can shut up heaven? Do we look like a guy who can open heaven? Do we look like a guy who knows God good enough to ask those requests and it happened? Or do we look like the prophets of Baal? We just stand around and holler like a bunch of bellowing sheep and nothing happens. Finally, you found out in North Carolina this week that if you'll keep trusting the institutions of men, you are destined. You are destined to disaster. Every institution known to man will fail you. It's finally we the people, and it's only we the people. It's only we the people who can walk by faith. The government can't walk by faith. Your college institutions can't walk by faith. Your local education system can't walk by faith. Your medical system can't walk by faith. Your church doesn't even walk by faith. But we the people, we can walk by faith. In a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And guess what? They had 400 prophets of Baal and one Elijah, one guy. Aaron was one guy with a stick. Elijah, one guy. I don't need a pile. That proclamation came from God to create an opportunity for every one of you to repent of what we've done for 1,700 years and get over it. It's your opportunity. I don't need a pile. And I'll prove it to you here in just a minute. Finally, Elijah, after all their screaming and hollering, he calls on God and he wets it down with two big barrels of water, two or three, whatever it was. You guys go read the story. God sends a fireball down, burns up the calf, burns up the rocks, burns up the water, poof. And then kills them all. Go God. I like him. And then, the end of the drought, at the word of Elijah. Just a couple little things right quick out of history. Is anybody getting a little fired up over this, or am I just got myself all worked up for nothing? I got this cool little book here that my buddy Tom Morehouse sent me, and the rules was to read it, sign it, and send it on to somebody else. I've read it, and I'm not going to sign it, and I'm keeping it. I'll get one and send it on to somebody else, but this is really good. So just going through some of these stories, and you hear me talk about it a lot with George Washington, but just like in the Revolutionary War when this is all coming to fruition, but as early as 1731 and works up to 1743, the British are really being hard on America. America's wanting to bust loose and do some stuff, and they've just got all kinds of problems going on. And in 1746, Massachusetts Governor William Shirley declared a day of prayer and fasting, and October 16th for deliverance. What's Passover all about? Deliverance. How many of y'all believe America needs to be delivered from dependency on man-made institutions that have tried to replace God? And so they gathered up and they went to this deal and they prayed. Historian Catherine Drinker Bowen related this as he finished praying. The sky darkened. The wind shrieked. The church bells rang a wild, uneven sound, though no man was in the steeple. A hurricane scattered the entire French fleet as far as the Caribbean. Lightning struck several ships, igniting gunpowder magazines, causing explosions and fire. They prayed and they fasted.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.